Let's read together Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 12. In this first half of Genesis 6, we begin the account of Noah and the ark and the worldwide flood. Genesis chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. Now it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days and also afterward, when the sons of God came in to the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God, and Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. Let's begin this first half of Genesis 6 now with some background notes. Our 2-year-old granddaughter, Ingrid, has 3 favorite videos: Cinderella, Peter Rabbit, and Noah and the Ark. The story of Noah and the Ark is a fascinating story for all ages. And it's a true story. Peter Rabbit and Cinderella are fairy tales, but not the story of Noah and the Ark. Even though many liberal critics of the Bible say it's only a Jewish legend, we know it's a true story because it's an historical account given to us in the pages of Scripture. Now, as we begin our study of this true account, probably the first big question that comes to mind is what? Who are the sons of God here? Verse 2 again. The sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves, of all whom they chose. Who are these sons of God, anyway? Well, there are 3 views or interpretations that have been held by Christians for this term, sons of God, here in Genesis 6. One is that the sons of God here are the godly line of Seth, and the daughters of men here represent the ungodly line of Cain. A second view is that the sons of God are kings or dynastic rulers of the ancient world. A third view, which I hold, and it's the truth, of course, is that the sons of God in Genesis 6 are fallen angels. Now, I believe this is the right view for a number of reasons. Let me briefly list 3 of them. Number 1, the term sons of God is used in the Old Testament for angels, even fallen angels. Job chapter 1 and verse 6. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And Job chapter 2 and verse 1. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also among them to present himself before the Lord. Reason number 2. Jude verses 6 and 7 seems to be describing the events of Genesis chapter 6. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, God has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day, as Sodom and Gomorrah, and the cities around them in a similar manner to these, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Notice that the specific sin of the fallen angels mentioned here in Jude was sexual sin. As in the gross sins of Sodom and Gomorrah, where men wrongly crossed the sexual barriers that God had set up, so too these fallen angels wrongly stepped out of their God-given sphere and went after strange flesh. This was a major sin on the part of these fallen angels. And as a result, they are bound even now, awaiting the final judgment. We have a similar passage to Jude in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. And there it definitely seems to confirm that the time of this event was at the time of Noah. Now, exactly how these fallen angels cohabited with certain women in that day is not easy to understand. Whether they possessed the bodies of men or took on the material form of men is hard to say. In any case, there was an unusual offspring. Genesis 6:4 says that they were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Now, this description in the context is not a commendation. These were the notorious strongmen and tyrants of pre-flood days. They were the world's heroes before the flood. This brings us then to the third reason for taking this position concerning the sons of God. It helps to explain God's judgment of the world with a flood. If indeed the offspring from the union of these fallen angels and humans was not fully human, then we can see why God destroyed this pre-flood world and preserved the true human race in Noah and his family. By the way, this is not a Dave Reed interpretation. This goes all the way back. Your ancient rabbinic commentaries all held this view. Satan knew from what God had said earlier that he would be defeated and his head would be crushed by the seed of the woman. The Redeemer of mankind would be human. Read Genesis 3:15 in this connection. Satan knew that if he could corrupt the human race so that it was no longer truly human, then he could thwart God's plan and purpose. But God foiled Satan's evil schemes by sending a worldwide flood, which wiped out the world at that time and preserved the true human race and the line of the Redeemer through Noah and his descendants. A lot more we could say there, but we need to move to our doctrinal and teaching points. Doctrinal point number one, the heart of God is grieved when people sin against him. The heart of God is grieved when people sin against him. Verses 5 and 6, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. God not only knows when people sin against him, he is grieved when people sin against him. God's heart is grieved because of man's sin. Man's sin is God's sorrow. The heart of God is grieved when unbelievers sin, as we see here. And God is grieved when believers sin. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, which is addressed to Christians, we read, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Is it possible that you're grieving the Holy Spirit of God right now? When we look at the context of Ephesians 4:30, we see some of the things that grieve the Spirit of God. Let me read verses 31 and 32. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Is it possible that you're here this morning and you're bitter about something? Is it possible that you're here this morning and you're not willing to forgive someone? You're grieving the Spirit of God. The heart of God is grieved when we sin. We see from verse 3 of Genesis 6 here that there is a limit to God's tolerance of sin. Genesis 6, verse 3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. The 120 years mentioned here is most likely the time remaining until the judgment of the flood. For 120 years, the earth was filled with violence. Look at verses 11 and 12 once again. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. Sounds a lot like today, doesn't it? No wonder our Lord said in the Olivet Discourse, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. God's tolerance had reached its limit, as we see here in verse 7. God is long-suffering, but he must judge sin. God not only hates sin, but it grieves him. The heart of God is grieved when people sin against him. Doctrinal point number 2. The heart of God is pleased when people walk with him. The heart of God is pleased when people walk with him. Verses 8 and 9. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. In the midst of all the corruption and violence, Noah lived an upright life. Noah walked with God, and he found grace or favor in the eyes of the Lord. You know, this is the first mention of grace in the Bible. Noah was not sinless, but his life was characterized by walking with God. Walk, you see, implies step-by-step following and fellowship. Do you walk with God? The heart of God is pleased when people walk with him. We know from other scriptures that all during this time before the flood, Noah was preaching to his contemporaries. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5 says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. For 120 years, he preached to the skeptics and mockers that God was going to destroy the world with a flood. But no one believed his message. Humanly speaking, it was not a successful ministry. But God was pleased, and Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He walked with God. The heart of God is pleased when people walk with him. Practical application. Who are your heroes? Who are your heroes? We see from verse 4 that the heroes of the pre-flood world were not godly leaders, but rather the mighty tyrants of that day, the strong men of that time. These notorious characters were the heroes of the world that God judged with a flood. Where are those heroes now? Who are your heroes? Young people here this morning, are your heroes the movie stars and rock stars and other stars that this world labels successful? 1 John 2:17 says, "This world is passing away, but they that do the will of God abide forever." Noah was not a hero in his day. He was laughed at. He was mocked. But Noah was a hero in God's eyes. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He walked with God. This is a good question, isn't it, for all of us here this morning? Who are your heroes?